All right, we are now joined by tonight's winner of the Coca-Cola 600 Charlotte Motor Speedway and driver of the number one Trackhouse Racing Chevrolet, Ross Chastain. We will go straight into questions. We'll go to Zach Sterniolo up first.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Ross, congratulations. First crown jewel victory for yourself and for Trackhouse Racing. That part of that, being here, especially just down the road from the Trackhouse shop, what is the significance of this moment for you and for this Trackhouse team?
I don't know yet. I really don't. I mean, it's sinking in that we won the World 600. We won the Coke 600. But what that means for the team and me and everything else, I mean, you saw us crash yesterday. You heard me, I think, talk about they were up till 2:30. I left at 10. They stayed there long after I was gone. They were back at 5:30. We built another car. And we put ourselves in, like, we just slowly worked our way. It took all 600 miles. Like a 400-mile race here, we don't get there. We're not in contention. So it took the whole time. And then I don't know what it means yet. I'm excited to find out, though.
All right, we'll go to Jacob and then to Jordan next.
Jacob Stillman, Race Face Digital. Ross, first off, congratulations. Two for you. First, take me back to Ross Chastain in the JD Motorsports chapter when you're just trying to tell yourself, maybe I'm going to have a job next week. Could you have told that Ross Chastain you were going to be sitting here as a 600 winner?
So I have to back up even a little more. What's today? Sunday. It might be Monday. I guess it's Monday by now. But I think it was Saturday morning or Friday. Saturday. I was driving through China Grove, and I passed the old Viva Motorsports shop on 152. And Jamie Dick let me drive his car. I brought sponsorship in my first Xfinity race here at Charlotte was in 2014. So we ran Charlotte and Daytona that year. Neither one went very well, but my first Xfinity race here was then. I've crashed in 2013 here in the BKR truck with Chad Kendrick as my crew chief. And I told him last night or Friday night after the truck race that, like, if he had the driver now that he sees with as me, that we would have ran a lot better than we did back in 13. So as I stepped through the JD days, yeah, I just kept learning. We had times here where Johnny rented a full lease motor because we were running really good, and then, like, the sway bar arms broke during the race. So we had a truck arm break one time. The sway bars broke one time. So we had a lot of heartbreak here where we thought we were going to run better. And all that's part of the journey. So what it means now, I don't know, but it was all part of the journey, like to drive up and pass William. It took me years of learning this craft. I wasn't the guy that showed up and was fast and could win races. I wasn't with the teams that could win either, but a decade or more of learning is what got me to victory lane tonight in this race.
And Phil was in here earlier, talked about the culture during the rebuild and in the shop. Justin was in here earlier, talked about the culture at Trackhouse. What makes you most proud about seeing that kind of culture, that it's not just about your effort that goes in, but Justin used the word relentless to describe this team, and knowing that all of that that's we've always seen in you is so echoed by everybody at Trackhouse, and particularly with your number one team?
Yeah, from my side, they see less of me because Chevrolet and General Motors opened their tech center down the street. So the Josh Wise program, the Wise optimization program, used to be out back of Ganassi. It lined up with the transition of Trackhouse that we moved across Bruton Smith Boulevard to GM. And so I do spend less time at Trackhouse, but that's because I'm there at GM where my driver coaches are, my strength coaches, my mental coaches, my everything. Everything there is to make me the best driver. So, it's been keep waking up. I mean, the Monday mornings, they suck sometimes, but you show up and you just keep doing it. I'm not sure I'm going to make it in the morning, I'll be honest. But I think I'll have an excused absence.
All right. Quickly, we're going to go to Jordan. Then we're going to go to Dustin. And then we'll go to Steven.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You kind of touched on it. Is this the best you've ever been at this moment as a race car driver right now?
Well, the truck gave me a lot of confidence Friday. I moved up. I moved the groove up single-handedly. I watched my tire tracks. Every time I come back around, I could see my rubber moving it up. Then when I got the cup car gave me the confidence to run the top. I ran it on the out lap and the entire first lap. I was going to qualify around the top like Reddick did, the 45 did. And then we started the race, and I didn't have the same feeling, so I couldn't run the top. I didn't really run the top as well all 600 miles today as I did yesterday in practice. Now, I had cleaner air, but even when I had clean air, I didn't have the balance in the car to do it. So I've said it. I've heard drivers say it, and I believe it. We cannot drive slow cars fast. You rent a car at any airport in the world, and if it's slow and you mash the gas and it doesn't go as fast as another car, you're slower. So whether that's in the corner, grip, or straightaway, we just had to keep working on our car tonight. And the final thing I said, I think, before screaming that we won was, you nailed the balance. Like Phil Surgeon in the group nailed the balance for the final green flag pit out. So I don't think that I'm any better than I have been. We came here and you saw it yesterday with the averages, the average lap times throughout the practice. We were right there with William for fast time in group two. And then you saw it. We just marched our way through the field tonight.
The crew was at the shop until, 2:30 in the morning last night. Were you there for any portion of that last night? What was that like, if you were?
Yeah, I was. I did the PRN broadcast, so I was up in the booth. I found out once I was in the booth that they were going to go to a backup. When I left the garage, we were going to fix the car, and then NASCAR saw some stuff they didn't like with the clip and the frame that they didn't want it to race. So they said, go build another one, bring out another one. So they started from basically scratch. I don't know the details of what the car was going to do and if I didn't crash yesterday. But, yeah, I left about 10 o'clock. I got done with the PRN broadcast. I went straight there. I was there till 10. Tony Lunders is literally pushing me out, saying, go home, go to sleep. I need you to be ready tomorrow night. Got up, had a normal morning. Did some other business, just normal that I would do on a normal day, and rode down here, and my first thing was at 12:30, and they got the car done. So 2:30 they left. I think they're back at 5:30, last I heard.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin, let me know, J-Ski. Ross, you mentioned how it took all 600 miles today, and if it was like a 400, 500-mile race, you don't get it done. But when did you feel like this car, the backup car, was a contender tonight?
Yeah, we were making our way early, and then we pitted, and the caution came out while we were on pit road, so we had to take the wave around. And I was passing cars before that. I was passing cars after that. But then I got to, that ninth, and then I got to third. I made a bad choose. I chose second row inside, fell back to seventh or eighth, and I wasn't sure that I would get back up there. But then 77 had his issue. Carson was always ahead of me getting to the front. We started at the back together after he spun out in qualifying. So Carson beat me to the front and had front row, and then did his tire fall off? Do we know? The engine blew up? I could see sparks and fire coming out of the left front. It looked like the tire, so that's wild. Because he was in position. I didn't get to race with him all night. He beat me to the front. So, I don't know. When did I know? Not until down the back stretch on the white flag lap.
Go to Steven, then we'll go to Greg.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Ross, I want to ask you about your very prolonged celebration. You did a Polish victory lap afterwards, then you did the watermelon smash, then you were up in the stands, and it felt like it took a really, really long time. And so what exactly went into deciding to do all that to commemorate winning the Coke 600?
I won. No one can tell me what to do. I will admit that we reached the 2-hour mark a little bit ago since the finish, and they were barking at me in victory lane, and I was a little more cordial earlier. They know, and I've told them in the past, like, when I win, I'm going to soak this in, because at times I didn't. Truck series, winning truck races or Xfinity races and then racing cup the next day is like the best thing, but the worst, because you can't celebrate it. And I like beer. I'd be drinking beer whether Busch Light sponsored me or not, and I would be drinking Busch Light whether they sponsored me or not. So whenever we do this, yes, I was still completely sober, clearly out on the track, but I wanted to take it in. A crown jewel race like the World 600, the Coca-Cola 600, driving around backwards, I've never done that in my life. And when I won, I thought, I'm doing it. What Alan meant, what he started, and seeing the other drivers that have paid it back and paid it forward to him, of honoring him, I wanted to be a part of that. I've now done one. I never did it in my life. So the long burnout, I don't know why. I was spinning around. I got out. I about fell. Andy ran me the watermelon out. I didn't see him until I was like stepping out of the car. Why I did all that? Because we won, and I want to do everything that I've seen my heroes do, and also write my own story and just go up. If you offered people in a normal setting